Welcome back. Wasn't that nice? Little break. So, like I said a little while back, I had a chance to go on a nice trip about a month ago to go and do a mission trip in Turkey. And so I've shared some of that, and I'll share more in the future. But because I knew I was going to be on that side of the pond, I went ahead and went over a couple of days early, and I got to go see Israel for a couple of days. It was really, really cool. And so I won't unpack all of my slides for you today, but I do want to tell you about one. Whenever I was up on the north side, I went to Jerusalem for a day. That was crazy. Then I went up and I went to the Sea of Galilee, and that was much more calm and inspirational and so on. So I was one morning, I got up really, really early, and I went up to the north side of the Sea of Galilee where Capernaum is, and I saw the sunrise on the Sea of Galilee. And so it was beautiful. It was really fun. Did the picture make it in? Yes. Okay. So just an incredible experience. And I can tell you, John 21 is where Jesus has already been crucified, and he's risen again from the dead, and so, but he's appearing here and there. The disciples don't know what's next, and so I don't know if you remember, but it says that Peter and his friends, they went fishing, and they fished all night, and they didn't catch anything, so that was right in this area, and so I was just imagining, okay, these guys going by, and they're mad, and then Jesus calls out to them, hey, throw your net on the other side, and so it was a weird moment. I was like, okay, Jesus, I could just see him coming around the corner, you know, it was so real, and life-changing, really, because as you read the rest of that passage, really a powerful encounter that Jesus has with Peter there, and so for me it was a special moment. But just around to the south and west is Tiberias, where I actually stayed the night. And so I came in the night before, and I walked around town, and I saw this one guy, and I went back the next day, this same day, and I saw him again, and I got his picture. Here's this guy. There he is. Now, he doesn't know I took his picture, obviously, but he made an impression on me. Let me tell you what this guy was doing. He was a street performer, right? Only whenever I walked by him the night before, I heard he was playing music. It was like something from Chicago or whatever, right? The music's playing, and like it sounds like their CD that he's playing, right? And you know what he's doing? He's kind of just like strumming, barely, on his guitar, like groaning. I've been colorless forever. You know, it's like, what? You're not even singing. What are you doing? You're just playing their music. And so, but not only that, but he has his little basket out to receive tips. And to top it all off, he's selling CDs. It's like, what are you selling? Are you selling Chicago stuff? You just ripped over to a CD? Or is it actually you moaning and groaning with your guitar? I mean, what is this? I was like, I've never seen anyone so fake. Just fake. Okay, so we'll come back to that in a few minutes, obviously. But this guy made an impression on me, the Tiberius street performer that didn't perform at all. So, okay, let's talk about Christmas. We're in Christmas now. So I've got this opening slide here. For you, Mary Changemas. Maybe you saw that on your bulletin. You're like, what? Let me make it a little worse for you, maybe. Here's the next slide. Not that one. We'll get to that one in a minute. Okay. Have any of you ever seen this slide, seen this this word? Does this bother any of you? Raise your hand if this bothers you. Okay. This used to really, really bother me because I knew what was happening here. People are trying to take Jesus out of Christmas. And they're going to put an X in there instead. And so you know what reinforced this? And, you know, the parents obviously said it. But then we had this next door neighbor growing up. And this guy was not a believer. And so my dad would go and witness to him and try to tell him. He's like, no. And so he was like the bad guy. And so growing up, we always knew, okay, if they're doing it, that's what the world does. That's the bad stuff, right? And so my dad witnessed to him for literally decades and prayed for him. We'd pray for him almost every night. And as far as I know, he never came to Christ. But anyway, so this guy next door to us, he was the bad guy. And so one day I was over in his garage. He was a woodworking guy, a construction guy. So I'm in his garage, and I look up at their kind of their storage shelves, and they have a box. And you know what it says on it? Xmas. And to me, that nailed it down. The bad people use Xmas. But then there was this moment when I was going to school when someone let me see something really cool. And here's what they showed. Do you know what this is? This is the Greek name for Jesus. It's Christos. Do you see what letter Jesus' name starts with? It looks like an X, but it's called Chi, Greek, right? And so whenever we see Christos, we know that the short term of that is X. And so great news. When someone's trying to take Christ out of Christmas, they can't. Even when they say Xmas, they're still saying Christmas, all right? So some of you can just relax. In fact, it's faster to write that, okay? So now when I write Xmas, I'm like, yes, Jesus must, right? And it's It's okay. Hopefully you have your bulletin. Go ahead and take out your note sheet there. There are several things that I want you to write down as we go through this. But you wonder, why did I say changemas? Okay, so if I can help you understand Xmas is okay, maybe I can help you see that changemas is okay as well. Why changemas? Well, here's the first truth, and really the main point is really just a one-point message today, and it is this: Christ brings change. Christ brings change. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come, right? Whenever Jesus shows up, things change. And we don't always like that, but it's a reality. So our purpose statement, we have a new shorter version of it called Life Change Together as a church. And we talk about life change together. And we talk about our purpose statement. So we exist to lead individuals into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ while being embraced by a community of believers. It's not just this idea that we have Jesus and we put him on our shoulder as a new patch or a bumper sticker on our car or a necklace with a cross on it. It's not just this little thing that we add onto our lives and we go about our merry way. No, whenever Jesus is present, he changes things. And it's not just the first time we come to know him. It's over our whole lives. It's this life change process over and over, this refining, this sanctification is the old church word of taking us from where we are to be more and more like him. And it's not fun all the time, but it's good. It's really good. So sometimes we have this idea that we can just add Jesus on and then continue. And that's not okay. It's not okay for us to be the same after we have experienced Christ. Honestly, it's not okay for us to be the same tomorrow as we were today, because we should be in this constant growing process, this life change process. And we want to do it together because we need each other. Life change. Life change because of Jesus. This is not always fun because typically we don't like change. And that's another thing for you to write in. And you could have finished that yourself because we don't typically like change, right? And so to kind of prove this, I want us to go through a change exercise. And so, we have to get to the point where we're not so afraid of change. So what we're going to do in the next couple of minutes to get ourselves used to more change is we're going to have everybody in this section, you're going to move to this section, and everybody in this section, you're going to move to this section, and the back and the sides, y'all swap. Okay, so on the count of three. Everybody ready? On your mark? Just kidding. But some of you need blood pressure medicine now, don't you? Some of you are like, he's actually going to make us move. Doesn't he know you can't do that in church? Okay, so here's what we're going to do now. As a result of this feeling that you have inside, we're going to talk about what you like or dislike about change. Wow. Okay, so on this side, this is the bad side, right? And this is the good side. First, we're going to go through the things you don't like or the things that we think are bad about change. Why would we resist or not want to change? Uncomfortable, right? Somebody else. Okay, overwhelming. Unknown. Different. Penmanship wasn't my deal. I'm sorry?
Usually costly.
Costly, ooh. Amen. Seriously, to change sides would have cost energy. It's not free, right? Okay. Anybody else? Stressful. Okay, good. That's probably enough. We could probably do about six pages here. Whoa. I have to change something about this marker. It's strong. Okay. So there's lots of things that we don't like about change. But let's be honest. What are the good things about change? It's new. Some of you like that, right? I do sometimes. Okay. Somebody else? Opportunity, good. Okay, that says it, I promise. Okay, what else?
Growth,
okay, you get to move forward. Somebody else? Improvement, it's better, right? Okay, what else?
Different.
Wait a second. Oh, yes. It is both. Okay,
So I think we get the idea, though. We're talking about change. And a lot of us sometimes will just be like, no. But then we get there and it's like, oh, it's all right. It's going to be okay. We don't typically like change, but it is good for us. Now, what we're doing right now is we're talking about Christmas. We're talking about Jesus coming to earth. So what I want to do is I want to look at some snapshots very quickly of some people in the Christmas story, and let's see if their lives changed any, okay? Here's the first one, this woman named Mary. Sometimes we may think that Mary was just sitting there with this halo over her head, waiting for the angel to show up because she knew. And yeah, she was engaged to Joseph, but she didn't really care because she knew. No. That's not how it was, right? She had already bought the dress. She already had the cake ordered. The invitations to the wedding had already been sent out. And you know that once the invitations are out, we are not turning back, right? They knew where they're going to live. She had all of her stuff registered at Target and Walmart and Bed Bath & Beyond. I mean, she was getting gifts in. She couldn't send those back now, right? And then the angel shows up. And what does she do? Oh, no, I don't want to do that because I've got these big plans, and it's going to be amazing. My dream is finally coming true. I met this amazing guy, Joseph. I'm sorry, please go find somebody else. No, that's not what she did. Mary said, okay, let's do it. Amazing. Jesus' presence changed her life in lots of ways, maybe more than anybody else, but Jesus changed her life. This next guy, the guy who was supposed to marry her, Joseph. I love that look on his face. That's got to be how he felt. I mean, he had plans, right? Like, I'm going to get married, and it's going to be great. And then the angel, and then she, okay, no, here's how it is. Mary comes to Joseph, right? And she says, I'm pregnant. Okay. And it's from God. Sure. I'm sure everything good is from God, dear. And he's like, okay. But he was a nice guy, right? So his life has already changed right here. But he's a nice guy. So he's going to go and he's going to figure out a way to make this happen, you know, to make it all go away in as peaceful and as quiet a way as possible. And then he has the dream. And the angel says, no, she wasn't lying. She is going to have my baby. And I want you to still marry her and pretend like it's yours and raise this baby to be your own. He's the savior of the world. So Joseph does. And his life is different. Can you imagine trying to be the dad for the guy who knows everything, literally? I mean, I'm having a hard time with these guys that I'm trying to raise, right? Pushing people around on the stage, I don't know. So, but seriously, this guy was perfect. I mean, Joseph was constantly apologizing to the Savior of the world. I'm sorry, you know? So, seriously, changed Joseph's life. Why? Because Jesus does that. Another guy in the story, maybe you've read in Luke chapter 1 where it talks about this guy named Zechariah, an old guy. It makes it very clear he's old. So he has the cool privilege as one of the priests. He gets his name gets drawn, and he gets to go into the holy place, and he gets to burn the incense. And so he's in the temple, and he's burning the incense, and guess what? An angel shows up. And by the way, just a quick side note, it had been hundreds of years since anyone had heard from God, okay? Malachi was the last one. As far as we know, Zechariah was the first one to hear anything, as far as we know. We're not sure. Maybe Simeon beat him. Not exactly sure. But this guy, he sees an angel, and he hasn't heard about this in a long time. And the angel says, you and your wife, Elizabeth, are going to have a baby. He's like, one second. We're really old, right? He says, now you're going to have a baby, and his name's going to be John, and he's going to be the forerunner for Jesus because Jesus is almost here. And Zechariah is trying to like, yes, but he's like, okay, well, how am I going to know? He said, well, I'll tell you how you're going to know. You won't be able to talk until the baby's born. He's like, well, that would definitely do it. And so he walks outside. He's starting to tell the people, here's what happened, but he can't talk. He can't say anything. Talk about life change. He needed some togetherness after that, right? And so anyway, so he tries to tell him what's going on, and he goes home, and sure enough, Elizabeth gets pregnant. So 9 months later, when the baby's born, and he writes out, his name is John, his mouth is finally opened again, and he can talk. His wife, Elizabeth, remember, they're old. So she finds out that she's pregnant. Zechariah comes home, and I don't know if he writes it out or what, he tells her what's going on, and she gets pregnant, right? And what does she do? What does it say she does for the next 5 months? She goes into seclusion. Remember, she's old. There's no telling how many times she may have already had a miscarriage as she's tried her whole life to have children and could not. And so now she's old and the risks are even higher. She knows, okay, this probably isn't going to happen. So what does she do? She wants to hide because she's like, "This, there's no way this can happen. There's no way this is going to work." But after 20 weeks, she's still pregnant. And so she comes out and she has John the Baptist. Now remember, these people are old. Have I said that yet? Any of you grandparents in the room? A couple. Now listen, there's a reason that God gives children to young people, right? Any amens in the room? Okay, some of you are grandparents, you didn't raise your hand. But hey, here's the deal. It looks like Zechariah and Elizabeth are not just grandparent age, they're great grandparent age. And the cool thing about being a grandparent or a great grandparent is after you've given them candy and you've let them do whatever they wanted to do, you give them back to the parents. And you go home and sleep in your bed and sleep all night. It's wonderful. But these guys, when the baby wakes up in the middle of the night with an earache or the teething or the diaper is dirty or whatever, these old people have to take care of it. Talk about life change. It's a huge change. So Zechariah and Elizabeth, huge change Jesus brings to them. We talked about Simeon just a second ago. I love this picture of Simeon. Well, we've missed Elizabeth, so we'll go to Elizabeth. A really cool picture. This is where Mary and Elizabeth meet. And Elizabeth, John the Baptist inside Elizabeth, jumps for joy because Mary and Christ have come into their presence. A cool moment. Read that. It's really, really good. Okay, next picture is Simeon. And so Simeon was a guy that God had promised, "You will not die until you see the chosen one, the Messiah." And so the day that he wakes up, the Holy Spirit says to him, "Today's the day. Go to the temple because the Messiah is going to be there." You know what Simeon did? He went to the temple. His life was going to change at that point. You know why? The promise was lifted at that point. No more promise of life. Because he had seen the Messiah. But you know what? He didn't care. "I got to see the Messiah." And so you see this prophecy from him in Luke chapter 2 where Simeon, maybe the only person on earth who seemed to really get it, Anna maybe right there with him, but it's like, okay, he was saying, this is God's chosen answer for the world. Simeon got it. And he wasn't afraid to go and embrace Jesus, to hold him and to celebrate. He wasn't afraid. He knew that it would change his life, but he was okay with that because Jesus was worth it. Jesus changes things. He changes our lives. Another incredible story is Jesus grows up and he's doing his ministry. He's on one side of the Sea of Galilee. He goes over to the other side of the Gadarenes, and there are these two demon-possessed guys. One of them that really stood out was just a crazy guy. And so he shows up, and he has this encounter, and he kicks the demons out of this guy. And the demons go to the pigs. The pigs go drown. And so the people of the city, they come over, and what do they find? They find this guy who used to be demon-possessed. They find him, they say, clothed and in his right mind, kneeling before Jesus. This guy who had literally been demon-possessed has been set free. This change that Jesus brought to him gave him life, finally, from complete darkness to light. This guy was changed, and he was like, "Oh my goodness, I can finally..." So he wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus says, "No, I want you to go, and I want you to tell people what's happened to you. Tell them you met Jesus, and Jesus changed your life." The first missionary, maybe. Jesus sends this guy. So there's no question about his theology, you know? So what do you believe about the millennium? Is it pre-millennial, post-millennial? It's like, no. Jesus changed me. So what do you believe about the inerrancy of the Bible? You think it's God's word, or some of it's God's word? It doesn't matter. Jesus changed me. So what do you believe about Calvinism? Are you a Calvinist, Arminius? What do you think? No. Jesus changed me. That's enough. His life was changed, and that's all he needed. Go and tell him, "Jesus changed me." And that's what he did. Another story that we're familiar with, probably, is the story of Saul on the road to Damascus. Now, this guy had finally achieved what he'd been working for decades. He had been training, he'd been going to school, he'd been doing all these right things so that he could be one of the top Pharisees and get on the Sanhedrin, and he was. And he was at the top of his game. He was making things happen. In fact, he was going after the bad guys. the ones that he thought were bad guys, the Christians. He was going after them. And so on the road to Damascus, what happens? A light from heaven shines down and it blinds him. And Jesus says, what are you doing? It's me. You're going against me. Get up. I got some stuff for you to do. And his career was completely rocked that day. A whole new path. Everything that he had worked for, gone. But then the beautiful thing is God used that, all of that. He used it in a new way. And Paul becomes one of the greatest witnesses in the history of the world for Jesus. Why? Jesus changes things. And so as we get to this season of Christmas and we talk about the baby in the manger and he's, oh, so cute and wonderful and cuddly and quiet and silent night, holy night. Hey, realize, no, this guy's going to change your life. Mary Changemas. Jesus changes things. And so we all have a choice. And so the last blank for you to fill in there is, what will you choose? What will you choose? Matthew 16, 26 says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You see, we have this idea of, I don't want to have to be uncomfortable or overwhelmed or go into this unknown or change things. It's going to be costly. It's going to be I don't want to do that. So I'm just going to steer clear of Jesus. That's what the rich young ruler did. He comes up to Jesus and says, what does it take for me to be a part of your kingdom? He says, well, you need to do these things and follow me. God says, ooh, that's a lot of stuff. I'm out. And we have that same option. We can say, no, thank you. No, thank you, Jesus. I appreciate all that cool stuff it sounds like you're doing, but I'm too comfortable to make the change. I got everything situated just like it needs to be. I can't afford to make that change. But the great news is, 84:10, Psalm 84:10, one day in your courts. I would rather have one day in your courts than 1,000 anywhere else. It's better. It's better. If you go back to any one of these people who had their lives completely rocked by Jesus and you ask them, would you do it over again? They'd say, yes, 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 a billion times yes, because Jesus is better. So we don't have to be afraid that the change he's going to bring is going to be bad. No, it's going to be better. It's not just that it's new, it's opportunity, it's growth. It truly is better in a wonderful way because that's what we were created for. I saw a note on Twitter this morning. Louis Giglio said, Jesus doesn't just give us what we need. Jesus is what we need. Jesus is what we were made for. Relationship with God is the reason we're on earth. So you have these two check boxes at the bottom of your notes there. And I want you to just consciously think through. Which would I rather have? Would I rather have Jesus and the change that he brings? Or am I okay with the status quo? Which one are you going to do? And I want every one of us to constantly choose one of those. And maybe today is your status quo day. I would rather you be honest. I'm not going to pick these up and give a grade, right? This is for you. Which would you rather have? I go back to what Mary said. Go back to the first example. Mary, she heard about how her life was going to be completely altered. She didn't know if she's going to have a wedding anymore. She didn't know what was going to happen with her. She didn't know any of these things. But here's what she says. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Can we say that this morning? As we get to the point where we celebrate Jesus coming to earth, his presence here, can we say, whatever you want, I'll go. I'll be whatever you want me to be. I'll change whatever you want to change. And I promise you, he wants to change things. So what is that for you this morning? I don't know, because I don't know all that God knows about you. But the Holy Spirit, I believe, is touching you right now and saying, here it is. This is the thing. And maybe he's not told you right now, but he'll tell you in an hour or in 6 hours. But God's going to tell you, I believe, by his Holy Spirit revealed to you, look, this is the area I want you to be willing to give up, be willing to shift, to be willing to change. And will you do it? Some of you, that change is saying yes to Jesus for the first time. And we have on our community card a place to indicate, I'm trusting Christ for the first time, to turn away from your old life, to change owners and to trust Jesus and to receive the forgiveness that he came to give you, become a Christian. Others of you, you've been a Christian for a long time, but the change has stopped. You're just kind of hanging out. It's time to move again. Jesus changes things. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, I thank you that you love us enough to not just leave us like we are, but you want us to have life change. You want us to move forward. You want us to have the best possible. And Father, I thank you that your definition of good is better than ours. So may we trust you enough to lay down all the things that we've set aside, all the things that we've built about our lives, and embrace you, embrace the Savior, this wonderful Jesus who's come to earth, died for us, raised again, interceding for us at the right hand, and sent the Spirit to guide us and to teach us and to shape us, to empower us. So, Father, during this season, may we not just say, oh, that's nice, Jesus came, but may we embrace the change that you bring through Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.